starting at the end of Ash, right? Okay, just to raise a small point, we did most of our discussion about Asher we had yesterday, but today we're just going to add one quick little thing about the one more word about the structure of Asheri. We all call it Asheri. If you'll notice that when we saw yesterday that the Gemara calls it Tehillah LeDavid. So if you look in that perek in Tehillim, you'll notice that the perek actually begins with the words Tehillah LeDavid, and then you have our Mincha, and all the other bays. And that's the end of the perek in Tehillim. Our custom is that during davening we add a pasuk, really two pasukim before Tehillah David, Asher Yoshev Yisrael Odi Olu Vasela, and Asher Yom Shekachalo. Yeah, and at the end, at the end of the Tehillah David, we add one more pasuk of Anachnu Nevarich Kamiata VeOlam Olam Halavuka. So the Rush in Masechta Bracha just points out just the idea behind both those additions. Masha Anu Poschim BeAsher Yoshev. As Mishum Dimine Nafkal on the Kaman, Tzorach Adam Sheyish Sha'achas Kodim Sheyispal. The Gemara learns a din from Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha. The first thing a person has to do is to be Yoshvei Beisecha. They have to. Now, the word Yoshvei, literally translated, would it say means those who
dwell,
sit. Right? But on the other hand, we know, for example, the Gemara's point out the beginning of the third parak in Megillah, sometimes the word Yeshiva doesn't mean to sit down, but yeshiva can mean also to
dwell,
settle, or to be misakiv, or to delay, to wait, to stay. The Gemara quotes a pasuk: "Ve'eshev bahar arba'im yom ve'arba'im laila." Moshe Rabbeinu says it doesn't mean that he sat still for 40 days and 40 nights. It means that he was there. Right? He lived on the mountain for 40 days. So Asher Yoshvei Ve'isecha. The Gemara says. Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha tells us that a person has to live a little bit, spend a little time in the basic Knesset, the basic Medrash, before he gets to the davening and the praise of Hashem. Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha first, Odia Halalucha Sela second. The idea that a person would wait, as he quotes, Sha'ach as Kod Mashi Yispalel, is derived from that pasuk. And parenthetically, the halacha actually brings that a person is not supposed to daven a Shemoneh Esrei as soon as he runs into the shul, and start davening right away. You're supposed to take a moment to catch your, not just catch your breath, but catch your focus and attention. And Matzi Halacha, we learn from Asheri Yoshvei Veisach, of course you have to be there for a little bit. Because of that, the post can bring later on Hilchos Mincha, that Chazal or Mesakin, and even though Mincha is really just essentially a Shemoneh Esrei, but you can't just daven Shemoneh Esrei randomly out of the blue. So the Chazal instituted saying Asheri first, not just because we want to get another Asheri in like we learned yesterday, have three times a day, but also because from those psukim, Asheri Yoshvei Veisecha, we learn that din, that you don't just daven straight up, you have to have a moment or two to focus. That's what we do before Mincha. We do the Asheri Yoshvei Veisecha in for the first 30 seconds, and then we start up with the tefillah. So since this is as we mentioned yesterday, the Iker part of the Pesukah de Zimra from Asheri and on, that's sort of like the haschala of the tefillah, so we insert that pasuk at the beginning. V'gam mesayimim v'anachnu nevarechka. We also conclude the Tehillah of the David by adding another pasuk, v'anachnu nevarech, k'deish yisayim be'haleluka, because we want the last word of that section to be a haleluka, because now, as we know, of course, right after Asheri, we segue into the haleluka section, so now we have like the hey, we're going to do the Hallelukas, and we start Hallelooking right after that. So that's the beginning and the end of the Asher. If you look in the Mefarshim in the bottom of the Rush, they point out that once we did that during Pesukah de Zimra, we made those additions by the other parts of davening where we say Asheri also. In other words, we have a section that we always call Asheri Uval Etzion, right? That little part after davening. So really, these reasons don't apply anymore. You don't really have to add Asheri Yoshvei Veisecha, because you're already after davening. You don't have to add V'anachnu Nevarech, because you're not in Pesukah de Zimra. You're not saying the Halalukas. Same thing with Shu by Mincha. But once we added it in at the Iker part, the Iker usage of Asheri, so that became like part of the Asheri picture For all eternity, no matter when the Asherei is coming up. So that's that. Now, page 25, the Halalukas. So truth be told, we spend an entire shiur covering the Halalukas, so we're not really going to do that right now over again. I'm sure we all remember everything that we had said about the Halalukas back in the day. Great, Gevaldik, okay. We have over here, just to remind yourselves, right, we have the Gemara, and we once again noted the for some reason I only put the Rambam over here, but the Rashi and the Rambam about the significance of these. This is the Iker part of the Pesukim of Zimran. Right after that, and when that's all done, we have the Pesukim of Baruch Hashem, the Olam. So let's explain those very, very quickly. We have Udraham, who is one of the Rishonim who explains the different tefillos in the we have in the Siddur. Udraham brings one of the, again, one of the early Rishonim. He quotes his father's. Again, it's found in the back of the basement. If you want to take a look on the back shelf, because all of these, I mean, all these psukim, these are the ends of the svarim in the Sefer Tehillim. So tikna lomar achreim, excuse me, because the Halalukas are the end of Sefer Tehillim, tikna lomar achreim baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen. And the pasuk of Baruch Hashem Mitzion, and the pasuk of Baruch Hashem Elokim Elokei Yisrael, Baruch Hashem Kvodo. Why? She'elo apsukim atzino osam ksuvim besov sifrei tehillim, v'lechein tikna la'omram v'yashlama asat tehillim. Says the Abu Draham, since we know that Sefer Tehillim is divided into five chumashim, basically, five sections of Sefer Tehillim. The end of each one of those sections is marked by one of those psukim that we just mentioned. So since we're finishing up the Sefer Tehillim, the last couple of things, we make a little, like, fake-out seum. We don't really just read the entire Sefer Tehillim right now. We just read the last couple of Mizmorim. But we recite the ends of all the different Sefer Tehillim, like we said, just to make a shlama, to finish up, to finish up those things. So that definitely is the minute that we say those parts. After that, we move into Vayivarech David and Oz Yashir. So, first let's be aware that Vayivarech David and Oz Yashir are not, I mean, we should be aware of this because we everyone on Chumash before, but those two things are not really connected at all, right? Because we know that, let's start first. Oz Yashir comes from the Kriyas Yam Sof, or whatever I was looking for, is like from Chumash, from Parashas Beshalach. Oz Yashir, excuse me, and Vayivarech David, if the name David is in there, so clearly, as we hopefully know, that David is not found anywhere in the Chumash. We know that, right? Good. And we're on the ball, as always. So obviously that's a, what do you call it, a not connected to the actual Shira Sayyam, the practice of saying those particular psukim. So what are they? What are we saying? So we're just going to look a little bit into that also as we're going along. So the Torah brings in Siman Nun Aleph. The Tikkun HaGaonim, Tikkun means like the sitter of the Gaonim, they bring a minog to say Vayivarech David up until the section of Mahalalim L'Shem Tifartecha, which was under the earlier Psukim in that section. Kasher Hu B'Sefer Divrei HaYomim, like is printed in Sefer Divrei HaYomim, Vayivarech L'Shem Kvodecha, up until Ad Shiras Hayom, Kasher Hu B'Sefer Ezra. Okay, we say another series of psukim that are found in Sefer Ezra, and then Shiras Hayom, and then you say the Shiras Hayom. So what is that? The Torah explains. Vatam, v'shakol osam tesvav l'shonos shosheva chasidurim bebirkas yishtabach, the 15 different praises that we say about Hashem in Yishtabach, they're doresh b'mechilta mitoch Shiras Hayom, mitoch osam psukim shel vayivarech David. They're all these different words that we use to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu were all derived from the Shiros v'Tishbachos that were found both in the Shiras Hayom and also in the Psukim of Vayivarech David. It says the Torah, meaning since we're going to make the bracha after the Psukim of Zimra, we already incorporate the source, these particular parshios in the Tanakh that we're going to call a rich and fertile with different shvachim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, I'm going to read a little bit more, and then we're going to explain a little bit more. There's a Machzor Vitri, Simen Reish Samechei, If you remember from Erev Pesach, we learned that the Machzor Vitri was basically a perush on the Siddur and all different menhagim about the Siddur that's written by the Talmidei Rashi. Okay, so it's an older sefer, and most of the ideas are representing different thoughts that were given over by Rashi. So we say over here, do you should know? Kishira sayom hayom min hageino mina kol kal Roma or mina kol kihilos asher sivivo sayino. There's a old mina from Rome and all the other places to say shira sayom every single day. Or mina kol kihilos asher besvarad miyom golus Yerushalayim ve'ad ata lo umra kol hashana kula. The minhag in Spain, from the time they went from Yerushalayim to Spain up until today, the minhag is that we say Az Yashir every single day, with the exception of Tisha B'Av. She'ein Omrim Osam Yishum Evil. We wouldn't say Az Yashir and Tisha B'Av because of the Avelus, and the Shira Sayom was a time of Moshe Ovinei Yisrael Lecha Anu Shira Bin
Simcha
Rabba V'Om Ruchulam. And since Tisha B'Av day is not the most Simcha Rabba day out of the year, so the minhag back in not only the day but in those places was that Oz Yashir wasn't said on Tisha B'Av. A fascinating little tidbit. V'Shenahigino Raboseinu La'omra, and the reason why our Rebbeim instituted the practice of saying this is Yan ki Azmiros Chova Hoya Alaina La Omra Bachol Yom. We know that the basic Zmiros, the songs to Hashem, we have to say every single day. It says in the Gemara, Amrabiosi Hichelki Megomer Hala Bachol Yom. Masikna ki Kamina Bapsuke de Zimra. We know we have to say the Psukim of Psuke de Zimra. The Fikach Tikna Rabbasain Alomer Imahim Zuashira Shihi Al Apeles Oyaveno. So the Shira Sayom has a particular twist to it, that it speaks about the Mapeles Oyveinu, the downfall of our enemies. L'asei Shevach, L'mafli Plos, L'varich Hashmo, L'fneim U'l'achreim. We want to give Shevach to He who does all the different wonders in the world, and to give a bracha to Him before and after. That's Baruch Shomer and Yishtabach. And Hilkach Ein Roi, L'mona Eloyom Tisha B'Av Bilvad. The only day not to say that, to prevent, to hold back from saying it would have been Tisha B'Av, L'fishu Yom Nefila. Tisha B'Av is taka a day that a day of nefilah for Klal Yisrael, Hamakom Berachem of Yekimenu VeYakim Sugas David Ha Nefales, meaning to say that the focus of the Shira Sayom was that what we're going to call, the way he said it, the victory of Klal Yisrael over our enemies. Tisha B'Av, on the other hand, is a little bit Rachmana Letzlan of the opposite. It's not just that it's a Shir of Simcha. The Simcha obviously was because of the Mapala of Oyuvein, of our enemies, but that's particularly not appropriate on Tisha B'Av because of the Venahafoklu in the opposite direction that had been taking place. That's an explanation of the Machzor Vitri. Now, if the truth be told, there is a couple of little points about these sections over here that are worth a while to note. Rabbi Yaakov had a very interesting pshat. We know that there is a minhag, there are different minhagim, but there is certainly a real legitimate minhag that people stay in when they say Vayivarech David, right, through Yishtabach and like that. So where does that come from? What's that all about? So Rabbi Yaakov explained a very, very interesting thing. We know that from early times, it was certainly really like driven home by the Yerizah more than by others, even though it sources earlier, that there's a practice to give tzedakah before daven. He says, "Vani b'tzedek echezeh panecha, I'm going to approach you, I'm going to see your face b'tzedek." And the Chazal understood that a person should give a little money to tzedakah before he approaches the Ribbono Shel Olam. You should do something nice for somebody else before you start asking things for yourself. And the most appropriate time to give that tzedakah, so we know one of the shvachim that we give, that we say in the Vari of Dove, hold on, I'll tell you in a second, one of the praises that we give, yeah, but what's right before that though? No, that's the point we're looking at. I just don't understand. Yeah, we go through all those things. Nezuha Kihosh Mavar Sakhaj Mahram Sizai the Khalarosh, Ha'oshev Yaakovil Milfanech of Yata Moshel Bakol. Because we make mention Ha'osher V'yakovod Milfanecha, that all riches and all honors come from you, so we want to make a point of understanding that money that we have is really, as we know, I'm sure we've heard this idea many, many times, money that we have is really just on loan by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not really mine, it's not really something that I earned and have any real rights. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a gift to people in this world, and he has a certain interest in people taking the gift that was given to them, and recognize that bottom line is it's not his to stay and not his alone. It has to be shared with others. So Davka, the point during davening when we say Ha'osher v'yakavod milfanecha, that's when we make a point of taking some of our money and saying, you know what, I understand that there's a purpose and a reason why I have all of this, because it really is only all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at that moment, like, we have the recognition, we go over and we give tzedakah. And that's the time-honored minog in Klal Yisrael. Many, many shuls in Rosh Gavi will walk around and like clink the pushka to remind you to give tzedakah at that stage in the game. But that is the practice, to give tzedakah during Hazgashah at the point of Ha'osher v'yakavod milfanecha. Now, Rabbi Yaakov explained that there's a Mishnah in Bikurim, that the Mishnah points out that when the farmers used to come to Yerushalayim to bring the Bikurim, all the people who they passed on their way to Yerushalayim used to stand up in honor of the Mevi'ei Bikurim. Okay? And the Mefarshim on Mishnah, they're recording a Gemara. There's no Gemara in Bikurim, but according to Gemara elsewhere, the Mefarshim on the Mishnah point out that from here we learn, this is actually Paskin Mahalacha, from here we learn that when you're in the middle of, I shouldn't say when, that's a better way of saying it, when you're watching, you're observing in the presence of someone in the midst of doing a mitzvah, that's a long sentence, when you're around someone who's in the middle of doing a mitzvah, you have a chiyuv to stand up in honor of both the person and the mitzvah that is being done. Okay, so we stand up when the farmers are bringing the bikurim, and the shach and the taz bringing yoredeya, that's part of the reason why. That so let's say when we just did a bris milah, so when the baby is brought into the room to who's about to have the bris performed, then we all stand up like that. Again, we're not giving kavod to the baby just because we know he's going to be the next gadol hador, but we're there's a mitzvah that's being done, so there's a special thing, a mitzvah we're about to mekayim. Person should stand up in respect for that particular mitzvah. Kala or a chazan goes to a chuppah by a levaya. We know there are many, many times when you pass by a mitzvah procession, we're going to call it, that we stand up and make a point of giving kavod to those who are performing whatever mitzvahs are coming our way. Explain to Rabbi Yaakov then, since there's a minhag to give tzedakah during Az Yashir, Ha'osher v'yakavod milfanecha, and the din is that a person is supposed to stand up when he's in the presence of someone who's performing a mitzvah. So let's put two and two together and
stand.
Hey, we stand during Vayivarech David. That's where that particular minhag comes from. Okay. Now, there's an Aruch HaShulchan who asks a very fascinating question. A very, very fascinating question, in fact. He asks like this. At the very, very beginning of Siman Nun Beis. The Aruch HaShulchan asks, something we don't totally understand over here. We know that whenever we have when we're going to invoke a series of psukim, so we know the order, okay, of the way the Torah Shebichsav is presented to us is, we call the Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, right? When we're going to recite different psukim, we give kavod to the psukim from the Torah before the other places that we're going to quoting psukim from. The classic example where this comes up is the sugya in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and we speak about the psukim that we recite during the brachas of Malchus, Sichronos, and Shofros. We make a point of saying the psukim from the Chumash, then from the Nevi'im, and then from the Ksuvim. And Mar points out, for whatever the Cheshbon is, we end with one pasuk from the Torah, but that's supposed to be the order: Torah, Nevi'im, and then the Ksuvim. So Aruch HaShulchan comes along and asks over here. And eventually actually points out that this question is asked by the Zohar Kadosh itself. But he phrases it as a... Yeah. Phrase it as this question at the beginning, and then and then points out that the answer is found in a Zohar HaKadosh, which asks. So here we seem to be doing the exact opposite from what we're supposed to be doing. The beginning parts of Psukim Zimra are all the Psukim from the Ksuvim, basically, from Sefer Tehillim. We throw in here and there Psukim from the Nevi'im also, but Bi'ikaron, most of the Psukim are coming from the Ksuvim. Really what should have been is that if you're going to incorporate Oz Yashir, the Shir HaSayam, as part of the Psukim Zimra, that L'chorah should have been at the beginning of the Psukim Zimra. Those Psukim deserve more honor and should take precedence over anything else. Why do we dafka say those Psukim at the end, which seems to be like out of the Seder that we would normally follow? Okay, a fair question. Again, Lamais, that is the din when it comes to the Rosh Hashanah Tefillah, so why is it different over here? He points out even more strange is a Rambam, in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tefillah, where the Rambam notes that his feeling is, at least, we clearly don't do this as you're about to hear, but the Rambam Shita was, is that Oz Yashir is said after Yishtabach, before Baruch. When you're done with Psugit Zimra, then you just say Oz Yashir, right? And then you move on with the rest of davening. Rosh Hashanah also points out that it also sounds like a little strange. Like, what's like a random Oz Yashir floating around in the middle of Halachic Never Never Land? Like, there's no that's not part of Psugit Zimra. What am I like? Why am I inserting that thing Davka right over there? So obviously, this is an example where you see from the Shitas HaRambam, as weird as the Rambam sounds, but it definitely reflects back on our practice. In other words, yes, we have Oz Yashir as part of the Psukim Zimra. We ask this question, but it seems to be in the wrong place. It should have been at the beginning, not at the end. So when we see that the Rambam Davka says, not only should it be at the end, but it should even be after. So obviously, somehow or another, the natural place for Oz Yashir it is, in fact, at the end of Psukim, and we just have to figure out why that's true. Like, what are we trying to get at by saying Oz Yashir, Davka over there at the end? So Rosh Hashulchan brings the name of the Zohar HaKadosh, a very fascinating thing. And he quotes as follows. Let me just read to you the words inside. No, I'm not going to read the words inside. He's going to quote all the words inside. He doesn't quote all the words inside. Sorry, I just wanted to skim it through right now. But the Aruch HaShulchan basically brings as follows, that the Zohar HaKadosh writes that the Oz Yashir is davka meant to be juxtaposed to the brachos of Kriyashma. The brachos of Kriyashma begin the parsha of the Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim. Again, we're going to start that to Mirza Hashem next Monday. In our next tefillah, we're going to start off with Birkas Kriyashma. But the Birkas Kriyashma essentially begin the section of davening, again, in a very broad sense, where we're going to be involved in the act of Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim, of accepting the Ribbono Shelam upon ourselves as a melech and the one who directs our lives. The Oz Yashir, the Zohar HaKadosh says, because it's such a Chashuv Tefillah, has to be right next to that. Why? Because one of the psukim that we say in Oz Yashir, right, if you think back to our davenings, right, Malchus Laro Vanecha Bokei Yom Lifnei Moshe, right? Zekeli Anu, they all said Zekeli, V'Amru, and then they said, Hashem Yimloch, the Olam Vaed. Right, Derech Agav, you heard the way I just read those words? Okay, that's the more correct pronunciation of Hada. What was that? Moshe Ubinay Yisrael, what's the end? Malchuscha, Rovanecha, Bokeyam Lifnei Moshe. Ze Keili Anu. They all said, they all responded, Ze Keili. V'omru Hashem Yimloch V'omru. There's two phrases that are there. Sometimes we gargle them together because we're waiting for the chazan to say Hashem Yimloch together. So like we don't realize that they're really two separate things. There should be a little pause in between those two phrases. Now, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vaed is most definitely, like we just said, in that line of davening, an expression of Malchus Ovaratzon Kibulu Aleyah, right? We'll be Makaba O Malchus Shemayim. Not only will we be Makaba O Malchus Shemayim, did we speak about this year? Never, I don't remember. Not Omer b'makabel o malchus shemayim. This is a very interesting thing that we see during that line. That's dafka why we make a point of saying the targum. We do a shnai mikra echad targum in that pasuk. Hashem yumloch li'olam v'ed. Hashem yumloch li'olam v'ed. And then we say Hashem alchusei ka'im li'olam olnei olmaya. Why do we what? We do it in shnai mikra also, but why dafka out of all of the all the psukim that we just said, we decide to do the targum on that pasuk more than in the other psukim that are there in Oz Yashir. So the pshat is based on a medrash in a Yalkut Shimoni. The medrash says over there in Parshas Beshalach. Medrash says that there's a very big sod in that pasuk of Hashem Yimloch the Olam Avod, and that is as follows. If you do your basic translation of from Hebrew into English, Hashem Yimloch the Olam Vayit. So you would translate
Hashem will reign forever.
Hashem will reign forever. Now, there's a certain implication because we're using a Lashon Asid that's there, that we're speaking about Hashem Yimloch, but not necessarily
not necessarily
right now. Right? Now, that's not supposed to let us breathe a sigh of relief and say, I'm good to go today, and we just like take a break and whatever it is. But, as you say in the Targum, if you are reading carefully and know anything about grammar, you notice the Targum, in fact, changes something a little bit in that pasuk. What's the Targum of that pasuk? Hashem Malchusei Ka'im. Hashem's Malchus is Kayim, you know, forever. Not that Hashem will reign, which has again, obviously, the Targum is a Targum. When we understand when we say Hashem Yimloch, we don't just mean that that's going to start in 3 years from now. Obviously, what we're saying, it's gonna continue from now on, right? We understand that, but there is a little bit of room for we're gonna call it misinterpretation. That's there. The Targum comes along and says, no, the pshat is Hashem Malchusei Kayim, because Malchus Malchus is Kayim right now over here on the spot. Now that enables us. We know that every time we say Kriya Shema, okay. If we say Kriya Shema properly, of course, we're chazering very, very quickly the Perush of Rashi on Kriya Shema, because all Chumash is meant to be understood at first base with Rashi as well. Like, Sukkim don't really mean all that much without the help of Rashi. That's what Rashi did for, we know that. Like, we know like Rashi, right? We've heard of him before. So, Rashi on the Pasuk of Kriya Shema tells us what? Are we guessing that because you think that's what we're supposed to say right now?
No.
Huh? Rabbi Nissel.
Gave
us a.
Mentioned
it. A couple weeks ago. What did he mention?
I thought that's what he said.
That what?
He said, for the word, at least for the word Echad, it's referring to Hashem doing
it
now.
Ooh.
Maybe I'm mixing up.
Yeah, you are mixing up.
Okay
so let's take a look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? No, we don't like. We say this every day, twice a day, Krishna, right? Okay, so Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. No one knows Rashi? That's fascinating. So, how was that?
Hashem Shehu
Elokeinu. What was that? Surprise us, once again. Come on, though. Hashem Elokeinu, says Rashi. This Hashem, who right now, today, is Elokeinu, is our Jewish God, because we're the only people in the world to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and people in Makabah Omachus Shemaim who follow the mitzvahs of the Torah. Hashem Echad, that same Hashem will one day in the future,
one
meaning to say, Oz Efah, Rashi calls the pasuk, then in the future I'm going to switch around all the good. The song? Really? How's it go? Okay. And then, of course, we have another pasuk that we know the Rashi quotes, right? By Yom Ahu Yi Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. And so what we're saying basically is effectively, when we say the Kriya Shema, we know that in the world that we live in today, in Olam Hazeh, right? So the Ribbono Shalom is not really recognized and followed on a universal level, but we try our best, at least. I can't even say we do, but we try our best in terms of like believing that Hashem is Elokeinu. But you see how Rashi translates it? There's two phrases. Hashem is Elokeinu, but Hashem will be one, meaning everyone in the world is going to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's only going to be one guy out there later on, he will be the man in the Asir level, and that's the way things are going to be. Now, even in the Kriya Shema, we're giving recognition. We might have gotten a little bit digressed over here. Even in the Kriya Shema itself, we're giving recognition to the idea that we know there's a little split between the way we perceive Malchus Shemayim today versus what's going to be La'asir Lavo. Right? Today there's one thing, but it's not really totally for real yet. Okay? But Funes, that's how even needs to explain that the reason why we have this practice, we put our hands over our eyes when we say Kriya Shema, is not just going to be able to have Kavana and whatever it is, so we shouldn't look at anything else, peek our fingers, all the things we do, but the reason why we put our hands over our eyes is to be Mesamein, is to symbolize and remind ourselves of what we just spoke about. The truth be told, the thing that I'm saying right now about Hashem Echad only really exists in my mind. The rest of the world doesn't see that yet. The rest of the world doesn't experience that, doesn't know that, is not aware of that like that. So we retreat a little bit into ourselves, right, to recognize that the eternity is the fact, or to concede the fact that this Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim really is something that really is just very personal, and we're not yet really ready to look at the world and say, oh, Hashem Echad, I really realize that the world is just one big Ribono Shalom out there, and that's something that we're missing a little bit today. Bringing that back, if that's what Kriya Shema is all about, our introduction to that comes in Oz Yasha. Hashem Yimloch the Olam Vayet. Right? And we're saying, yes, Hashem Yimloch the Olam, that's going to be true in the future, because we know, of course, that's when, right, that's when everyone in the world is going to see that. We know today that the Ribono Shel Olam is not just like coming attractions, like with a little preview and a trailer that we do today, but right now, we know Hashem Malchus Kayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, Malchus is Kayim today as well. So because the Oz Yashir is really the Haskala, the beginning of our Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim. On the one hand, it's a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a song of praise and recognition of a lot of wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. But at the same time, the take-home that we had from the Oz Yashir, from the Kriyas Yamsuf, was a belief in the Ribono Shel Olam, Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdo. Right? That's what took place at the time of the Kriyas Yamsuf. Ras Shivcha Alayam, Mashalo Ro, Hanavim even, right? So there was a tremendous thing that took place. So that's the beginning for us of our Kriya Shema. V'lachein, it's stuck in Davka, right over there at the end. According to the Rambam, it's not even part of Pesukah Zimra, it's just part of the Birkas Kriya Shema, or the introduction, we'll call it, to the Birkas Kriya Shema. But that's a little bit of a background in those important sections of the davening. We're together, alive and well? Okay. Now, we also remember, I didn't put it on the sheet over here, but let's remind ourselves, the Sefer Charedim that we saw in Sfas by the Kever of the Baal HaCharedim. We pointed out that one very big schus that a person has in this world is if he says the Oz Yashir every day, or as often as he possibly can, he says the Oz Yashir, let's call it every day, with a feeling of simcha, feeling like he's reliving the Kriyas Yamsuf, if he can picture B'midamyein in his mind, some of the Nisim, that took place, because I had to look at the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the 10 Nisim that took place at Kriya Samsu, Machloket between Rashi, Rambam, and Rabbeinu Yonah, what exactly those were, so we don't know, so you think about them all the different things. Again, if you don't know them, go read about them, and a person should be like reliving a little bit in his mind the Kriya Samsuf and the Shira as he's doing it. It should, the same thing should be said with a little bit of a nigun and a sing song as much as we can. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that is part of the Oz Yashir. Okay? Yeah? To remind ourselves of, I did like a footnote because I forgot to say it a second ago, so now we're in an official footnote under the table. To remind ourselves of the role and the purpose of Oz Yashir during the middle of davening, right, as the idea of the introduction to Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim. So we know that we have a practice that we stick in at the end of Oz Yashir a couple of different psukim that don't really have anything to do with Oz Yashir in the slightest bit, right? They're not there in Chumash. Like if you're the Baal Kori reading them in Parshas Bishlach, you have to like stop him. Like, you know, that's not. What was that? Oh my gosh, why are you taking stands in Machlokas? Rashi, Ramban, Ibn Ezra. What are you saying? Kivas is para. Wow, that's controversial. One thing for sure, Ki Lashem Amlucha Moshe Bagoyim. So what was the pasuk we just said? Theme of that pasuk? Ki Lashem Ha Melucha. All the Moshe Maratzilin was of Ahisa Lashem Ha Melucha. But Yomo Yashem Echad Shmoyet. Right. So why are we saying all those pasukim? Right. Because that's part of the reminder to us what we just did. The reason why we said the Az Yashir is really to get us into the mode of realizing that we're going through this acceptance upon ourselves of all those big, lofty, and beautiful hopes and dreams and aspirations that we have for things that are about to come in the future time. Shiyavo Bakarov. Now, that's the Oz Yashir. We're going to move into Yishtabach in our remaining couple of moments over here. That,
that's
just
slow now.
Yeah, it happened, yeah. Okay. I was going to give myself some more time, and I realize it's behind schedule. What was that?
It's pretty big fast.
And we're doing over there, yeah. Let's Yishtabach. Okay. The tour brings the following thing about Yishtabach. Yishtabach eino poseach bebaruch. First of all, Yishtabach does not begin with the words Baruch Ata, v'fi shehu samuch the Baruch Sha'amar. Yishtabach is called a bracha hasmucha l'chaverta. We're familiar with that concept. Whenever you have a series of brachas, one following the other, you say the words Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam at the beginning, and all the subsequent brachos don't require a baruch at the beginning, right? Because they're all following on the coattails of the beginning of the series. Most classic example every day of that is in Shemona Esrei, right? Where we have 19 brachos that are lined up, we might say all of them, okay, after the first, don't begin with the word baruch anymore. Why? Because bracha smucha l'chaverta. If you enjoy eating, so you know that benching does the same exact thing, right? We start with those baruch ata Hashem, and then you start off with no delacha, and then you start off with Rachim, right? Why don't those Nodelcha and Rachim begin with the words Baruch? Bracha smucha l'chaverta. Why does the bracha after Rachim begin with the word Baruch? Because that's not smucha l'chaverta, because that was only instituted later after the time where the first bracha was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu and the Yeshua, and then the David and Shlomo, and then later on in the times of the Bayesheni, they instituted that last bracha. The last bracha was really just one short little thing, Baruch Hateshem Hatova Hametiv. And then the Rishonim explained that the Gaonim added on a lot of other just different phrases that we say. But Bikar on the last bracha benching, just a short line, Baruch Hateshem Hatova Hametiv. That's a special bracha that if you look through the Rashi and Tosafot on the Gemara in the seventh of brachas, you'll notice is not even really technically part of benching at all at that stage in the game. A lot of different afkamin is lamaisa from that thought. But it's a bracha to give praise to Hashem for a couple of different nisim that are mentioned in those Gemaras, Ayin Sham in the first Amud Beis and on of the seven Perikin brachas. Now, those are all brachas asmuchas l'chaverta. Yishtabach is the same exact thing. A bracha asmuchas l'chaverta to Baruch Sha'amar. Okay, Sheshneyem nitkenu al psukei dezimr, zu lefneyem v'zuli achreyem. Explains the Torah, psukim shebeineyem lo behevi hefsek, the psukim that come in between Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach are not considered a hefsek for the simple reason that they're not. Meaning to say, that's part of the shevach that I'm supposed to be saying things that are still relevant to the viewer, like in the middle of the themes of what those brachos are all about. So if I'm going to be making Birkos Kriya Shema, right? When I'm done saying Kriya Shema, I can start the next bracha. Avarab, we understand that just starts Avarab because that is Samach L'chaber. So Baruch Hashem again, Yotaro V'Reichoshech, right? And Avarab. But Emes V'yatziv really should begin with a Baruch because, right, it's not Smucha L'chaber. The same exact thing, though. The Rishonim spell out that is Samach L'chaber. Kriya Shema is not really a Hefsek because the Brachos are surrounding the Kriya Shema and there's a continuum, a flow of all of those Brachos. Now, let's say there's one perush about the Yishtabach. This is found in a Rokeach. The Rokeach writes as follows. Yishtabach is a Shevach Shlomo. Yishtabach was a Shevach that was authored by King Solomon. V'sidron b'yom sha'ol leishev al kiso shoshen v'tzipe yozov umipaz. Shlomo HaMelech, when he ascended to the throne, when he first became the king, he had a throne made of ivory. Pretty cool, okay? Elephants, tusks, and all that. And then he made the throne even fancier, gold and gold. Ubo kol Yisrael, the fun of Liros Eich Ya'alalav. The people came to watch how Shlomo HaMelech was going to sit himself down, not because they thought he couldn't do it, but meaning like to observe him, you know, taking over the throne of Klal Yisrael. This king, amazing king, he's befitting, it's Magiyalo, all the different praises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given over to him, how wise he was, how intelligent he was. Shlomo HaMelech hears that people are saying, wow, he's like so great and awesome and amazing. You think for a second, whatever praises you can make, wow, look what I did, that all belongs to me. That's not true. Go back and praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. HaChachma v'Hagvura is Shalo. Upasafi Omar Yishtabach Shimcha Laad Malkeinu Ha Melech, which are of course, you notice they put a little right chipchicks in there. Yeah, Shlomo, right? Shlomo and Shlomo. Someone just picked it up. Shlomo HaMelech, right? Why? I mean, hey, where's the Shlomo HaMelech part? Melech is not part of the Rashi tables, but the name ends on the word of Melech. V'chosam shmo b'roshei ha'tevos. He signed his name in the Rashi tevos of those words. Mirov anuvunasuso higdim yishtabach shelo yargishu. Because Shlomo HaMelech was an anav, he began with the words yishtabach, meaning with a yud, so he wouldn't, everyone knows, like that the people who write tefillos and other things, all these like hidden little things, all these miros were signed, right, with the Rashi tevos of the author's names. Shlomo HaMelech didn't want people to, you know, look at that and notice that, what it called, that he was the one who wrote it, so he began his name in the second paragraph, in the second sentence rather, not at the very, very beginning. But that the Rekech is pointing out a fascinating thing, that the Shevach of Yishtabach, right, was Davka instituted and written for us by Shlomo HaMelech. We're Mamish saying very, very ancient and very, very special things at that stage in the game, and a tremendous statement and proclamation of a proper perspective on life, knowing that everything and anything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not from us, and everything has to be directed back towards Him. So that's a introduction, should be introductions about what's going on in the different sections of Pesukei DeZimra. Obviously, there's a lot more that a person needs to learn, and hopefully you do so at a different time. Next time, Mir Tashem, we're going to start off with the Birkas Kurish.